Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, come before you, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, just pray for wisdom. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you. We just thank you for your goodness. Again. Pray for clarity of heart and mind. You may say what you would have said. Whenever we start a meeting here, we met here because there was no other place in this world to go. Just three or four of us meeting here all by ourselves. Because we had one goal in mind. And that was just to have a place where we could meet together and help each other and love each other through whatever we went through. With the goal in mind of just being able to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. After I began reading the Bible, I spent 7 years preaching in evangelical churches no one wanted to hear. I spent 7 years preaching, fighting every time I got up to preach because I knew everyone was against me, what I was saying. And they didn't want to hear what I had found. They didn't want to hear it. First time I preached, I told them, I'm not preaching to the people outside. I'm preaching to the people that are right within these walls because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And if I can't preach to you, find somebody else. My mother didn't speak to me for a year after that message. Spent those 7 years there. A lot of people would have thought, well, you've just wasted 7 years of your life. But I didn't. It was just me going to school. I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes. And in my zeal, I thought I had to set everybody right. thought I had to buttonhole everybody. You know what I mean by buttonhole? I mean I had to just challenge everybody on everything. I was dead wrong. My faith wasn't because I had a loud mouth or that I could explain things. My faith was because I was willing to do what God wanted me to do. My faith wasn't because I was just trying to make sure everybody understood just the way I did. That's not faith. My faith was whenever I saw what God wanted me to do, I wanted to do it, and I did it. And I tried to tell other people about it any way I could, because I had never heard it. And I just wanted to tell other people about it. In my zeal, I made a lot of mistakes. I hurt a lot of people. Wasn't that the message was wrong? Wasn't that necessarily what I was doing was wrong? I just went about it wrong. But that's all that I knew how to do at the time. Absolutely all I had to do at the time. And I come under pressure that I had to start making some decisions based on somebody else's ideas or somebody else's opinions. And I couldn't make them. I couldn't make them because I didn't know which direction to go. And someone trying to force me into a corner didn't help at all. You know what happened? They wound up making some stupid decisions. It cost a lot of people. Left there and went to the Mennonites. And I did not agree with what the Mennonites were teaching everything. But you know what I did? I humbled myself and submitted myself to somebody that had a little bit more than what I did. Oh, you compromised! No. I had some things to learn, and they had some things that they could teach me. And I gave myself to them. I didn't give my soul. My faith was not in them. But they had something more that I could learn. And I went and I tried to learn from them. And I did. All of my life, since I started following the Lord, I looked at one person after another just for a little bit of help to somebody that had a little more than I did. Just someone that had a little something more than myself. Because I didn't want to go this alone. I didn't want to be no... I wasn't interested in knowing it all and being proud and being who everybody else thought I ought to be. I wanted to learn something from someone. And I went to man after man until I just got to where I couldn't go anymore because there wasn't anything left. There was nothing there. I went to one man and we'd talk about these martyrs and these. He inspired me towards these martyrs and towards really studying history. And one night I went over there and he said, well, we can't go into our little study yet because All-Star Wrestling is on. Sit down here and watch this with me, and then we can go talk about that. I decided All-Star Wrestling is all he's interested in. I learned some things from him. But I went on. Because I'm a pilgrim in this journey. I've not obtained anything. I'm walking this journey one step at a time, just like you are. Went to the Mennonites, submitted myself to them, knowing I didn't agree with everything. There were several people before we went to the Mennonites that said, start another church. And I said, no. Not interested in that. There's enough of them. Let's find something that's working and be a part of it. I've been accused all of my life of being an independent rebel that just wants to exalt himself and won't listen to nobody. All of my life. And all of my life I begged God to send someone to show me the path that I need to take. I begged God. Lord, just send someone just to show me what to do each step of the way. Just someone that's going ahead of me that I can just be a part of and learn from and follow. Please. And time after time I found one. And then they just turned completely opposite of what they said. And I submitted myself to the Mennonites. And I knew most of them were just religious people. But I loved them. And there was a few people there that I could learn some things from. And I submitted myself to them. To try to learn. And we were preaching and able to do the things that we were supposed to do. And then they decided, wait a minute, this is getting out of hand. We got to get control of this. And so they started changing rules about how I'm going to evangelize. They made rules how that I was supposed to evangelize. And I submitted to it. And I got to the place where I just told them, I said, I can't do this anymore. We're either going to have to look at this rule or I am going to leave. And I got excommunicated. I had a whole group of people there that I could have got on the phone and stirred up all kinds of trouble and split that thing right in two. Just made real havoc, jumping up and down on me being right. And it was. I didn't even call Kevin. I walked out of there all by myself. Because there's one thing I realize that God hates is someone who causes disunity and division among brothers. And I was not going to do that. I left there and it was a month or so and Kevin came around and said, I can't do this. And so he left them and we began meeting together. And we looked for 2 years, every group that you can imagine, for help, to try to get someone to be over us so that we wouldn't just be doing this all by ourselves. We searched high and low. We asked people, we compromised, we wrote up a book of standards one time because that's what a leader wanted us to do so that he could help us. Finally, one of them said, if you'll jump through this hoop and this hoop and this hoop, then you'll be freed to do what you want to do. And we finally said, we're finished with this. We're done with it. And we just decided to go on. And we decided. I spent 7 years with people who had no convictions at all and had no, they took away everything the Bible said and just made it mean nothing. And then I spent 7 years with people who took generally what the Bible said and then added a whole bunch of rules to it. Their own ideas of how things are supposed to be. And they started, and we decided, why can't we just do what the Bible says and just keep that as our standard and just let everyone else figure out how they're supposed to do it themselves? How long the covering wants to be, or what dress or what color, or how a man orders his own home. And let everyone else work that out themselves instead of having somebody else do it for them. Just be a group of disciples that just want to follow the Lord and let everybody work out their own salvation in fear and trembling. Just a safe place where we don't have to be jumping down everybody's throat all the time. You know, one thing I've noticed in my life in Christianity is the most destructive thing in the world, people say, to reprove and exhort one another daily. And they use that as an example to find fault with everybody else they find and go around pointing their fingers at everybody else. We started this church with those principles and those desires in mind. And I think that's the reason most of you are here, is because somebody has laid a foundation for you to just come and be a part of this. We've had a lot of problems through this time, and I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done a lot of things wrong. There's been people come in and going to push their view and push their idea. And we've had to stand up against them and tell them to go back to where they came from. You know, one thing that's always people, I've just seen people move into Missouri from California or some places where there's just all kinds of restrictions. They can't do anything, all kinds of rules and regulations. And they move into here. You know what the first thing they start doing is trying to create a bunch of rules to make everybody else live by their standard. They try to bring in what they hated. I don't have everything figured out. And the older I get, the less I think I know. I don't have all the answers, and I don't have it all down pat. And I haven't got every situation sealed down tight. In fact, I've been challenged on a lot of the things that I thought I had sealed down tight. And I've had to decide, do I really believe this or not? With a big price tag on it. Do I really believe this? Not just because I studied it out and found out an answer. I don't have it all figured out. But I know one thing that I don't want. I don't want a bunch of religion. It's the cruelest thing in the world. Religion. All these people these boys talked about today that were persecuted. The majority of them were persecuted by someone thinking that they were doing God a big favor and getting rid of those people. And those people patted themselves on the back and thought they were righteous for getting rid of that scum that they were getting rid of. Fire. You know, when it's all said and done, we can look back now and we can see these men that were burned, that were killed. You know what killed them? For the most part, people getting all stirred up and running with a fire. Some smooth talker stirring people up behind the scenes and getting people all stirred up to carry the action out for them. You know, St. Louis, they're having all these riots there. You know how those riots start? Somebody stirred up with a little righteous indignation and getting a bunch of other people stirred up. There's nothing travels faster than fire. We talk about truth. A lie will travel around the world while truth's still getting its boots on. People think they're gaining momentum and really gaining something because their lie is spreading faster and faster and faster. And they think they've really got a hold of something. But you know what? When all the fire burns out, there'll be nothing left but the truth. But everybody that was in the fire, fanning the fire, will be up in smoke, just like the wind. You don't know how many times I've been hearing rumors that I should step down. Rumors. That, in fact, all of us, the ministry, should step down. You don't know how many times I've asked these brethren to say, just let me go down. Just let me step down. Why don't you all take over? I'm not power hungry, trying to be here, lording it over you. I was put here to oversee the whole situation. Not just one little fire that's burning that everybody gets caught up and involved in. But to oversee the whole situation. And I'm as unworthy as they come. But I'm not going to rule over a bunch of third graders that can't get along with each other. That's not the church. That's got to pick and got to find. And got to find some problem to exalt yourself. I've got to live with myself every day. What I believe. And I will be the one to stand before the Lord. Just like you will for your actions. Mennonites want to paint gray lines over what God has called black and white. The Amish. They got to make some extra rules to make sure nobody even gets close to breaking the real one. And they paint a gray line and it gets bigger and bigger and more rules. Pretty soon you don't even know what's black anymore. You know, when Jesus came, that's exactly what the Pharisees had done. With all their rules. And you know what He did with them? He got right in their face with them. Said, "Your rules don't mean nothing to me." And He overthrew the temple. He could have done things nicey-nicey and went and healed everybody on Thursday or Monday or Tuesday. But He didn't. He went right in their face and said, "This is what I think of what your rules mean. It's bigger than your rules." And you're missing it. Faith is a scary thing. Honesty is a scary thing. Openness is a scary thing. Transparency is a scary thing. That's why all these noble-looking bishops look around and look like a bunch of plastic people painted in a black suit. Because they're plastic. They've got a face on them. Because they're a politician trying to make sure everybody's happy. They don't have enough courage to let someone make their own decisions because they might make one that disagrees with them. And they won't let anyone else carry out their own lives. Transparency is a scary thing because you open yourself up and people will take one little bit of it and just run like crazy with it. You don't have to agree with everything. Not asking you to. But the foundation of the church is on a free will. Jesus, the night He was betrayed by Judas. He knew that Judas was going to betray Him. And right up into the garden, Jesus kissed Him and said, "Friend, what are you doing?" Are you betraying me with a kiss? I'm learning that faith is a real thing. And I have to choose every day whether I'm going to be a part of it or not. I don't have it sealed up. If you do, I'm scared for you. If you think you got it all sealed up, I'm scared to death for you. Because I don't. It's renewed day by day. And I'm not there yet. That's where I want to go. But I'm not going to play church with all the fighting and all the bickering and all the back talking and all the slandering. If you want to do that, go somewhere else. All the accusations, all the imaginations, that's just pure wickedness. And if it comes down to just five people I can get along with here, that's all I care about. If you want anything other than that, right there's the door. If you're hearing gossip, and spreading it, and talking it, or insurrection, or whatever you want to call it, it's wickedness. And it's not my imagination. It's not me just imagining it if you're doing it. You're guilty or you're not. And if you are, you're guilty. You can imagine all you want to about me. That don't make it guilty. But if you're doing this, it is wrong. I know there's a bunch of you brethren here. That have been patiently going through this. Just wanting to get back to something a little more normal. And I apologize to you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's what the church is made of. It's just people wanting to follow the Lord and live at peace one with another. And when things get all stirred up, they can stay calm and just go through it. Because you know, Matt, you know what? It's all in the Lord's hands anyway. The only problem is when we start taking it in our own hands and start trying to fix stuff. When it all burns down, there will not be one thing left but the truth. But there's a lot of people get burned up saying that's all they want, but wind up going in smoke. Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy."